You have your Bibles, please stand tonight and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll begin reading there in verse 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Brother Raymond told me a while ago, he said that verse there helped him this morning and he's going to memorize it. I told him, I said, I dare you. So here in verse 3 of chapter 2, it says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If a man also strive for the masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus here this evening. And Lord, I thank you for letting me be in the midst of my family tonight, of God's people. And Father, this to me tonight is a real family. A family, Lord, that's not only going to be together here, but we'll be together in heaven. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for everybody you sent our way. And Father, the fellowship that we've had along the way. And God, friendships that we've made. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bring us together even more. God, may we be of harmony and we'll be of one accord. God, may we find ourselves tonight, Father, just wanting to be amongst your people. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us to understand the Scripture tonight. And God, as an aspect of who you think the church is and who you said the church is that we're soldiers. God, given us an idea tonight that we're in a battle. And I pray, Father, that we'd see it as it is. Lord, that we'll not just take it lightly. Father, we'll be serious with these matters. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We preached on last Sunday. We preached on the thought tonight that of Revelation chapter 12. If you remember that. There in Revelation chapter 12, we found that the devil, the old dragon, the old serpent, he was one that had a real problem with Israel. And he had a real problem with Israel being the woman with child, if you remember. And that one with child, the Bible says that the devil, which he was there to devour that child whenever it was born and whenever she delivered. I hope you remember that in Revelation 12. And then you go down to the last verse of that Revelation chapter 12, and you'll find that, well, let's just turn there and read it tonight. We'll find the remnant is the one that the devil is really seeking after to devour. In Revelation chapter 12, let's just turn to it real quickly, there in verse 17. The Bible says, "And the dragon," which is the devil, which is Satan, the Bible says, "was wroth with the woman," that's Israel. And so the devil's still mad at Israel. He's not over that yet. And the Bible says, "and went to make war with the remnant of her seed." Now who's the remnant of her seed? Her seed is Jesus, and the remnant of her seed would be the church. And tonight we find that the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the church tonight. And so we find that the church is described in the Word of God in many ways. One of the ways it's described is as the soldier of Jesus Christ. Tonight, me and you are a soldier. I am so tempted that when they ask me, and it's a real big question these days, are you in the military or have you ever been in the military? I am so tempted, and I will do it one of these days because I just know me, that I'm going to say yes. And they're going to say, "Well, what branch did you serve in?" And I'm going to have to say, "I serve in the branch of Jesus Christ. He's the commander of heaven and earth." I haven't done that yet, but I am very tempted to. I feel tonight, and I know that I am, that I'm in a army, or I'm in a war, I'm in a battle, and I'm a soldier. And so it's a different thought tonight if you know that you're a bride. The bride of Christ, and that's what we are. And so we're not going to, a bride don't necessarily have a battle that's fighting. I'm a body. And I have a head. His name's Jesus. And so, but you're not in a battle being a body. And so we think tonight that we're the salt and we're the light. And tonight that we're ambassadors of Christ. But tonight, let's think on the mindset of the devil and the evil spirits and the demons, and what tonight is a battle of a spiritual sense. You see, I believe tonight that we live in such a physical world that we forget about the spiritual world. If you look at Israel tonight, we find back in the Genesis, the Bible said that Abraham was going to have a child, and that child was going to be named Isaac. Well, they decided, him and Sarah, especially Sarah, decided to go in and have a child with Hagar. And having a child with Hagar brought forth a child named Ishmael. Now, when Ishmael was born and delivered, you find that God said that this man will be against every man and every man against him. He said he'll be a nation, but he'll not be that great nation. And the seed that where Christ was coming through would come through Isaac. Tonight we have the Muslim religion. The Muslim religion believe that Abraham is their father, as we do, but they believe that they come from Ishmael, and they do. We believe tonight Israel, which does, comes through Isaac. And so we find the very division between the two. We find that there is not only a physical battle that's going on with Israel, but if you look tonight, there is a spiritual battle going on. Our government, our country, our leaders deny that there is a holy war taking place. But there is a holy war taking place between the Jew and the Muslim tonight. It is a battle that started back in Genesis, and it will not end. You take, well, how do you know that this battle is against Israel? We know because Satan is persecuting the woman, it says in Revelation 12. If you look in the history of Israel, they had an easy time of life, right? Today, they're still fighting for their life, right? If they're coming to a place where the Antichrist is going to hook up with Israel, is that not right? And he's going to tell everybody else in the other world, and all the world said, leave Israel alone. I'm protecting Israel. He's going to make a pact with Israel. He's going to bring this pact together, and he'll be a protection of Israel for 3.5 years during the tribulation period. Why do you think tonight that the Antichrist would have to take on the whole world for the sake of Israel? Because the whole world's coming against Israel. It's not a physical battle, it's a spiritual battle, and we see it right before our eyes tonight. And so we don't have to really explain it much tonight. We can see it. We can know it. We can look at the anti-Semitic of people and countries and nations tonight who come up against the Jew, the Israelite tonight. We just see it all over the place. We find tonight, why would you think that Jesus would have to make a statement in Matthew and say this, that I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? Why do you think he had to make that statement? Because all of hell is against the church. Amen? Amen. And so we find a spiritual battle. We find a battle out there that's trying to destroy the Israel, trying to destroy the church, trying to destroy the Christian. What is the common denominator between all those three? God. God Jehovah. God Jehovah is the one tonight in which the Israelites have been called from this world, has been taken and delivered from Egypt, has been helped and handed and protected through all these years, is Israel because of God. God is the one who's head of the church. Amen? He's the one. It's called the church of God. Even when Jesus came and he went down there to the Temple Mount and he saw all the people, all the folks there that were there selling and buying. And what did he do? He came in and flipped flipped over the tables and took his whip. And he said, "You have made my father's house a den of thieves." Amen. He said, "This is a house of prayer." That's what God thought about his church. And so we find a spiritual battle. Now, there's a spiritual battle between you tonight and the devil or the demons or the evil spirits tonight. I want us to see that picture tonight. I don't want you to think tonight that it's just a physical thing. It's not a physical thing. Can I tell you tonight, in a reasonable way, that all the problems you got tonight and all the issues you have physically would have happened to you anyway? I mean, it has nothing to do whether you're a Christian or not. I mean, listen, all of us are going to have problems, and financially, all of us are going to have problems with spouses and children, and we're all going to have troubles tonight with bodies and with sicknesses and pains and all that. Has nothing to do whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. Amen. It's just part of life. But there is a spiritual battle taking place that you need to be aware of. This is the danger tonight of where we are as a people, especially with our children. When our children see us become unfaithful, and our children see us become laxed, and our children begin to see us become just wavering, the spiritual part of that child is affected. It may not affect his coming to church, because he'll come to church as long as you come to church because you tell him to come to church. But when they get to the age of not coming to church anymore, the majority, I would say 95% of kids today in all churches that I know of, stop going to church when they can stop going to church. It's a spiritual battle. It's a battle that you can get saved, and you can be faithful as a parent, and you can serve God with all your heart tonight, but if the devil can get your next generation out, he has won the battle. It's a spiritual battle. Don't think it's not tonight. Now let's look at it being a soldier now, because if we're in a spiritual battle tonight, we're going to have to be a soldier. But I want to show you tonight in the thought of being a soldier, the first thing is that the enlistment of a good soldier of Jesus Christ, the enlistment of that. How did we become a good soldier? Well, the Bible says, and there in verse 3, it says, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, verse 4, the portion of it says, at the bottom of it, who hath chosen him to be a soldier? Can I say tonight that your enlistment of being a good soldier of Jesus Christ was because you've been chosen? You've been chosen to be a soldier? You didn't choose to be a soldier. You were chosen to be a soldier. Whenever the Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to find that which was lost, that he may save, friend, it is the fact that when he saves you, he makes you a soldier of him. Amen? And you're chosen to be a soldier. And so there's not a, tonight, there's not an option whenever you get saved and God asks you, do you want to be a soldier or you don't want to be a soldier? No, it's not that. When you get chosen, when God calls you, you accept the call, or you become Christian, you become soldier. Soldier. But the Bible talks about a soldier tonight, is that you're not just a soldier. You're not just a soldier that's like the rest of the soldiers. You're different. You're not tonight a fancy soldier. I mean, God's not called you or placed you as somebody to be fancy. Not to be somebody who is maybe a rich soldier or smart soldier or tall a soldier or a nice soldier or a tough soldier or an energetic soldier or a lazy soldier. He said in the scripture here, you're a good soldier. That's all he has made us to be, is a good soldier. So none of us tonight are great soldiers. We're all good soldiers. None of us tonight are just a soldier. We're a good soldier. So when you got saved, automatically you become a good soldier. Now, what is a good soldier? A good soldier tonight is one that you could think of that is what the commander-in-chief is looking for in a soldier, which would be a good soldier, is one who doesn't shirk his duty. That's a good soldier. You know your duty, and you don't shirk it. You don't set it to the side. You don't let it go. You don't neglect it. You just don't say, okay, I know that's my duty. I know it's my duty as a wife, as a husband, and I know it's my duty as a member, that's my duty as a parent, that's my duty as a cousin or a sister or whatever the duty may may call for, a duty at work, and you say, you know what? A good soldier never shirks his duty. Whatever the duty is the duty what a good soldier does. It might be dirty sometimes. It might be hard sometimes. It may be difficult sometimes. It may be unlikable sometimes. It may be hard and unbearing sometimes. It may hurt sometimes. It may cause grief sometimes. It may bring suffering sometimes. But as a good soldier tonight, you don't shirk the duty, because you've been called to be a good soldier. Another thing about a good soldier tonight that I've kind of found and looked up is that he does not seek to escape the battle. That's a good soldier. I'm not looking to get out. I'm not looking to run. I'm not looking to go the other way. I'm not looking whenever all things are going well. Then spiritually speaking tonight, I'm in this battle with him. I'm in this battle for my life. And then I run and tuck and go. That's not a good soldier. A good soldier stays and don't run. Another thing about a good soldier is he never refuses to carry his load. That's a good soldier. Never says, listen, Lord, I don't want all this pressure on me. I don't want all this burden on me. I don't want all these cares on me. I don't want anything tonight that I have to carry or that I have to bear and let somebody else do. That's not a good soldier. A good soldier says, listen, Lord, whatever load that you have me to bear, I'll bear it. Whatever you want me to go through as a soldier, I go through it. Whatever hole you want me to get in, whatever dirt and muck you want me to go through, whatever trouble and situation and valley and dark place and suffering that I must face and the load that I must carry, I will carry that load. That's a good soldier. A good soldier tonight is one who does not deny the cause of Christ, the cause of the church, the cause of the family, the cause of your testimony, and you don't deny it, and you don't just say it's not real. Another attribute of this good soldier is one tonight that does not rebel to his superiors. A good soldier don't go against the authority of his life. A good soldier don't not rebel and be stubborn and becomes to the place where it's in conflict and there's all kinds of friction between those that are above him and those that are in charge of him. You know, the fact of the matter is tonight, as I had to tell some people the other day, I said, listen, there will always be somebody over you. It don't matter tonight. Wherever you go and whatever you do, there's somebody going to be over you. Somebody's going to tell you what to do. Somebody's going to tell you what not to do. Somebody will straighten you out. Somebody will correct you. Somebody will show you a better way. There's going to be somebody in your life at all times. So you might as well just get ready and just make it a part of your life that I will not at all come against the superiors of mine. That's a good soldier. A good soldier does not hide from hard work, no matter how hard that it is. Marriage is hard work. Raising children is hard work. Coming to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night is hard work. Not getting angry and losing your temper and choking somebody is hard work. It's hard work tonight to get up to every one of us to have to go to work and go to work. That's hard work. It's hard work for everyone who stays home and takes care of the home duties and take care of the place. That it's hard work. It's hard work, amen, to do what God asks you to do and be what God would have you to do. It's hard work to give tithes. It's hard work, amen, to go home and to sit there and look at all the things you need to fix in your house and get repaired. It's hard work. I'm just saying tonight, it's hard work to be a soldier, but a good soldier tonight does not hide from it. A good soldier tonight, again, is another attribute. It stands with other soldiers and suffers with them as well. That's a good soldier. A good soldier sees somebody going through trials and troubles of life, and they don't look at him and say, well, they deserve that. You know what? He caught up to you, didn't he? That's not a good soldier. A good soldier is not seeing one of the ones that you walk with, the ones that you go to church with, the one that you live with, and you see them down and out and discouraged, and you go to them and say, you know what? You deserve every bit of it. I tell you what a good soldier is you stand with them. You go with them. If they're crying, you cry with them. If they're hurting, you hurt with them. You stand with the soldier. You don't leave a wounded soldier. You don't let a soldier bleed out. You don't let a soldier die out. You don't let a soldier just cry and suffer and just let them be. You stand with them. That's a good soldier. A good soldier is one that sacrifices all that he is and that he has for the cause. That's a good soldier. A good soldier is at the end of this battle. They can look back and say, I gave it all. I hold back nothing. Everything I ever owned, everything I had within me, all of my strength and all of my care and all of my love, I have given it all. I held back nothing. That's a good soldier. A good soldier's attribute tonight is not only that, but it's one that would look and gives all his mind and body and soul. It's one tonight that does for the glory of his commander. That's a good soldier. A good soldier is the one who looks to his commander and says, I'm doing it for you. I'm doing what I'm doing for you. I'm doing the commander. Our commander is Jesus tonight. And you could say, he's chosen me to be a good soldier. And whatever I am and whatever I do and whatever I achieve and whatever I become, it's because of him tonight. He is the motivation of my life. He's the motive of who I am. He's the thrill and the thrust of what I do and what I got to go through and the battle that I have to fight. And as I fight on the battlefield tonight, I can look at the commander when I want to quit and when I want to get out and when I want to drop and when I want to leave and when I want to duck and when I want to hide tonight. It's Jesus that I'm looking at, and he's the commander that I'll never learn and I'll never leave from. Amen. He reminds me tonight of, wonder how Peter felt. I wonder how you would think Peter felt. Is whenever that day when Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, he said, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me three times. Peter said, no, I'll never do that. I'll never do that. The Bible said he denied him on the third time. He said, when the cock crew, he said, then you know that you deny me three times. Oh, Peter was there, sitting over there. It was cold, I guess. He was warming his hands out there by the fire. And he denied the Lord for the third time. And Jesus was bound. And he looked over to Peter. And the Bible says that he looked upon Peter. Now, can you imagine seeing the eyes of Jesus? Can you imagine seeing the eyes of the commander? Can you imagine what he was looking at? A dead sinner, and as the eyes of the God of all gods was looking down to the man, Peter, who said that he would deny him three times, and Peter said, I wouldn't. He got down and he looked right down into his heart. The Bible said that Peter wept bitterly. Amen? And I can just imagine tonight, you and I that's in this battle, and you and I tonight that's fighting this war, and you and I that's fighting this spiritual battle tonight, and when the commander of all commanders, friend, when we look him square in the eye, how can we get out of the battle? Christ is looking at us. A good soldier. A good soldier stays in the battle. He does it because he wants to do it for the commander, for his glory. Oh, a good soldier is one willing to give whatever the commander orders. A good soldier holds nothing back from his commander. I'm just reading these because I got to move on. A good soldier is not moved by the hardships or heartaches. A good soldier takes whatever it comes his way. A good soldier suffers so others can be free. A good soldier loves serving. He loves being a soldier. He loves his commander. He loves soldiers. Can I say to you tonight, when Jesus chose you to be a soldier, he chose you to be a good one. Amen. You don't settle tonight for just a soldier or a pretty soldier or a smart soldier or a busy soldier. You settle tonight to be a good soldier. Amen? If you're going to be a soldier, be a good one. I want you to notice a few things tonight. Number one, according to verse 4 tonight, the commander-in-chief, he has called you personally to be his warrior. He says he has chosen him to be a soldier. Talking about the commander-in-chief tonight. And so you find that Jesus has called you personally. It was his own decision. For you to be a good soldier tonight, you've got to know that you were personally picked out. I mean, you were special in the eyes of God. God looked upon all the heathens. He looked at you. He said, I'm going to save that heathen. I'm going to choose him to be a good soldier. I personally choose him. And tonight, what an encouragement to my heart to know that not only am I saved and born again, but God, through all the people of all the world, in 1988, October the 30th, there was billions of people everywhere. And God, being God of all sovereignty and being everywhere at all times and having all power above everything and anything. On that Wednesday night down at Parkwood Baptist Church on 5210, Aldine Bender, under the preaching of Brother Mark Thrift, that God would look down at me, oh rotten sinner, no good, low-down religious man, for 10 years performing all these things and making it look like that I was a Christian and making it look like that everybody else thought I was a Christian, and sitting there with this fake and phony lifestyle, and that he would even consider me, amen, and that he would reach down and say, listen, I choose you personally to be my good soldier. Did that with you on that day when you got saved. And probably the lowest point in your life, probably the sorriest day of your time, when you're the worst, when you're the horrible, when you was the place, friend, where, listen, you were no good for nobody. He said, I choose you to be my good soldier. So personally. I tell you, secondly, the commander-in-chief collected you privately to be his worker or his soldier. In verse 4, he says, he hath chosen him to be a soldier. I mean, that's for private. He said, I want you to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. See, you're not a soldier of anybody, but of Jesus Christ, privately. You're a private soldier. I mean, listen, friend, you are at the elite. You talk about a special forces. I mean, you're talking about those tonight that you would look at our military and you'd look at those tonight that would hold special places and special services tonight. You would look at them and say, well, like the Navy SEALs. Hey, friend, you look at a Christian tonight and he's a special servant. He's a good soldier because he's been not only personally picked, but he's been privately picked. I mean, there's not everybody is on this soldier thing, just those that he's picked. So you're privately on there. Hey, friend, you're a shadow man. Hey, you still could be on the other side. You still could be fighting the battle, but you're going to be with the other man, the other guy over there. Amen. I mean, you're going to be on the devil's side. Oh, but tonight, God's chosen you to be on his side. And so you find tonight, thirdly, the commander-in-chief, he commands you publicly to be his soldier tonight. And boy, that was his own decision. He said to you specifically tonight that he knows that this soldier that he has chosen, which is you and I tonight that are saved, he says, in your weakness, I'm going to be your strength. And I'm going to be the ones tonight when you're hindered, I'm going to give you the benefit and the strength to move forward. Amen? I'm going to give you the abilities. I'm going to give you the be successful. And friend, you don't worry about anything. I have chosen you personally. I have chosen you privately. And publicly, the world would know that you're my soldier. Some of y'all are real thrilled. I could be talking about chicken noodle soup. Head down, faces. Something's really hurting. I noticed tonight that there's an enlistment of a good soldier. Number two, I noticed the endurance of a good soldier. The Bible says in verse 3 that there's going to be some hardship. In all battles and all wars, there's hardships. That word hardships means suffering, means affliction, means trouble. He talks about the endurance of a good soldier tonight. The endurance of a good soldier would mean that he'll continue. He says there, thou therefore endure. Endure hardness. Meaning tonight that you need to last. You need to withstand. You need to remain. And you need to be firm, and you need to be there under the suffering and under the misfortune, and you need to bear it patiently. whether it's at home, at work, at church, with the flesh, with the world, or with Satan tonight. That's what a good soldier does. It endures hardness. If you don't like this thing about being a Christian, then to get out. But here's the problem. If you can get out, you never got in. Because you didn't make the enlistment. He enlisted you. So when you get in, you got to stay in. If you're going to be in, you might as well just endure hardness. I'm going to tell you tonight, you're going to have some hardness in this spiritual battle. Now, what's my job in hardness? To overcome the hardness? No. Endure. Stay. Remain. Continue. That's how you get through it. Don't back out. Don't back up. Don't leave out. Stick it in. Stick it through. Amen? You know, there's many people tonight who have quit. They have stopped. They have just let it to be. You know what I think tonight? Now, I'll be very honest with you tonight. I think the whole purpose tonight of why churches are no longer having Sunday night services and Wednesday night services, let me tell you why. There's a spiritual battle going on. Amen? The less preaching you can get and the less Word of God you can get, the easier the battle. Amen? I mean, why would the devil want to fight somebody who won't go to church for 1.5 hours? But those who go to church 5 hours, 6 hours a week, you got something going on. I mean, boy, you're getting equipped as a soldier. I mean, you're coming in here and you're hearing the Scriptures, you're hearing the Word of God, and boy, you're going out there and you may not know everything and you may not have retained everything. Oh, but it's in you and God will pull it out of you whenever that time comes. But you walk out of here and pray, you'll find yourself closer to God now than you were before. The battle is you're going to have a battle. You're going to have a war. The Satan's going to come against you. And the demons and the evil spirits are going to come up about you, friend. And the war is real and the battle is for real tonight. Oh, but you and I that can come to hear the Word of God and get under the Scripture tonight is able to endure. That's why they don't want to have church anymore. I believe that with all my heart. The devil has come to the pastors, the little meek pastors, little mousy pastors. They're weak as a noodle. So, you take the amount of people that come here tonight, and because the pastor wants the church to be completely full, he'll say, because of the lack of interest, we're just going to shut down Sunday night. And so what they do is the people say, now, if I did that, I would hope that somebody would come to me and say, uh-uh. No. I know you're pastor, but you're not God. I'll be here Sunday night. You might not be here. We'll get us another preacher. I'll be at church. Anyway, that's what I would do. If I was at a church and that church said, hey, listen, I'm not gonna preach on Sunday nights anymore. And the first thing I would do, I would say, okay, I'm going to go to my pastor and I'm going to say, listen, I express to you that it is very disappointing that you want less of God's Word and you want less of preaching. And you're supposed to be responsible and be watcher of my soul, and you give me less to feed on and less to drink of, so that when I go out here and fight this battle, I can be guaranteed to lose. And you're a pastor for me? You're a joke. And then I would look at others and see what others have said. If the majority of the church would say, I don't care, we don't need to have church, well, then I'd just find another church. If I would find other people saying, listen, no, I believe what you believe, I say, okay, now listen, let's just have church. See, the church is not the authority of the church, it's Jesus Christ. And as long as Jesus Christ is being preached and taught, you're to be there. And the pastor needs to get in line or he needs to get out of line. And tonight, I believe with all my heart tonight, why less church is going on today is because of the spiritual battle that's taking place. And they're walking out of the battle. Somebody said to me, what if nobody comes to church? What if everybody gets mad at you? I said, well, what if they do? I mean, I'll be honest with you, church. I've been in that little house down there with one person before. I mean, listen, if it wasn't, I mean, one person, my family didn't even come that night. It was me. It was a Wednesday night. And Brother Holmes was there. And I got up there and preached to Brother Holmes. You talking about a direct message. You talking about he got it all that night. It was all on him. And you know what? He went to the altar. Hallelujah. Man, when you can preach to one person, he goes to the altar. God moved in. Oh, my. All I can say tonight, dear church, dear Christian, dear soldier, dear good soldier, we got to endure. Endure, my brethren. Endure, my sistren. Oh, please. Endure. If I could say anything to these young people tonight, and to these children tonight, young men, young women, don't get out. Get in. Oh, my, it breaks my heart of all the children that's come through our church and all the young people that's come through our church. And as soon as they get gone, get out, they leave out and they never come back. You start getting a complexion. I mean, is it me? What have I done? What did the church do? We find tonight endurance. Oh, can I say tonight, the reason why there's that you need to endure is because you're the property of Jesus Christ. When you become a soldier, you become a soldier of Christ. And that means tonight you wear His uniform. See, all of us tonight are dressed. Do you know tonight, can I just say this tonight, that when you go to heaven, you won't be naked? That there'll be a house, there'll be a tabernacle that you'll be in? Did you know that? Did you know that when you get to heaven, there'll be a robe that you'll wear? And can I say to you tonight, right here on this earth, there is a uniform that you wear? It really is one. I know tonight in the physical eye, we all look at ourselves, we see everybody different. Red, blue, green, pink, orange, black, little silver things. You know what I'm saying? So we all look different, all different. But man, in the eyes of God, we're all looking in the same garment. We're in a uniform. You know why? Because we belong to Him. We're of His army. You know how you know you're in the Navy? Because you tell everybody you're in the Navy? No, because of the Navy uniform. You know how you tell you're in the Marines? The uniform. You know how you tell you're in the Army? Uniform. Air Force? Uniform. Coast Guards? Uniform. Amen? That's right. Uniform. Boy Scouts? Girl Scouts? Uniform. Friend, you wear the uniform. Oh, tonight, not only that you fight His cause and you use His weapons, amen, to fight this battle. See, we can't fight the devil without the weapons. And He provides the weapons. So we have His weapons because we're His property. We have His cause because we're His property. We have His uniforms. We're His property. We're under His care. Everyone that's under the care of the commander of chief is fully responsible for their welfare. I'm telling you tonight. We'll not get shot unless the commander of chief allows us to get shot. We'll not get wounded unless He allows us to get wounded. He will tonight will not lose not one battle in our lives unless He allows us to lose the battle. The commander-in-chief is in control. We're under His care. Amen? We are to endure the hardships. And can I say here, thirdly tonight, the entanglement of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 4 that no man that warreth. That word warreth means to serve in a military campaign. It means to be contend in a battle. It means to lead in a fight. That's what the word warreth means. So, if you're going to be in a campaign, and you are, and you're going to be in a battle, which you are, and you're going to be in a fight tonight, you're going to fight the good fight of faith tonight, and we are. The Bible says concerning this entanglement, the Bible says that the good soldier entwineth not himself with the prosperity of this life. He talks about the fares of this life. There are three things tonight that will get us off track. One is prosperity. Two is pleasures. Three is people. You take those three things in this life in which we live And one of those three is going to knock us out of whack. It's going to try to get us out of the mindset of being a soldier and in hardness. Think about it for a moment. Why has people jumped ship? Either money, either pleasure, or people. Mark it down. You think about it tonight. You just look around and see why people get off, why people stop fighting, why people get out of the battle, why they take their uniform off, why they do what they do, why they stop serving, why they stop going and stop fighting. It's going to be one of those three. One of those three is going to get them out every single time. And prosperity. And you and I are told in the Bible that we're not to entwine ourselves with prosperity. Now tonight, is it something wrong to make money? No. Is it something wrong to make a lot of money? No. Is there something wrong or sinful to be rich? No. Do you know tonight I wish every one of y'all were millionaires? Yeah. But you know why none of us would probably be millionaires? We wouldn't know what to do with it. It would become probably a master of us instead of being a servant. We'd probably be the fool instead of letting it be the tool. The fact of the matter is tonight is that you and I in prosperity and wealth and things and substances, we can't let that drive us. We can't let that be a motivation factor of why we do what we do for Christ. We can't let that entwine with us. Yes, we all go to work. And yes, we all make money. And yes, we want more money. Amen? Let's not lie. Oh, no, brother. I wish I'd get a deduction at work. I wish they would pay me less than what they're paying me. I'm so angry about that I make more money than I want to make. I've never heard anybody say that before. Everybody ever said, I'm going somewhere where I can make more money. Or I wish they would pay me. I wish I could get a raise. I wish I could get a promotion. I wish I could get more because every time I get more, I spend more. Oh, yeah, that's right. Every time I get more, I spend more. Every time I get more. I mean, 5 years ago, you didn't make what you're making. And 5 years ago, you still have what you have. Yeah. Now, how'd that work out? You ain't got anything different 5 years ago. You're still in the same place, doing the same thing, driving the same car. And you're doing what you're doing, but you're making more than you ever made before in your whole entire life, and yet we don't have anything. Figure that out. Well, I'm just saying tonight, we can't allow that to be entwined in our work with God and the service in which God's asked us to do. A soldier. Oh, secondly tonight is not only prosperity, but pleasures. Tonight, we're going to have to get charge of our lives that a good soldier don't engage himself into the pleasures of this life. Now, let me just say this tonight. Is it wrong to be pleasurable? No. I mean, is it wrong tonight to want to please your spouse? I'm not talking about that. I mean, a lot of people think, well, Brother Larry, you know, according to you, you can't do nothing. I mean, we might as well just go home and we might as well just take our TV and our radio. Is there any more radios? Or our CDs or whatever plays music? And anything that looks like a root beer, oh, better not have that in the house. Our Brother Larry has beer on it. You know, listen, don't bring none of them little cigarettes, little candy cigarettes in the house. I remember, or them cigars, I remember when I was little, those candy cigarettes, I would take the cigarette, I guess it was powder on it, you know what I'm talking about? And I'd go, and smoke would come off. I thought I was tough that day. I was smoking candy, man. Don't bring none of that in the house, because Brother Larry finds that out, man. I tell you, he'll preach on you like white on rice. I'm not talking about that. Talk about them pleasures tonight that are contrary to God's word and will bring an unholiness and will bring a shame on you. We got to keep ourselves from those. I'm sorry. We just can't enjoy the R-rated movies anymore. we just can't enjoy the singing, that's going to cause our flesh to flip out. We just can't enjoy, you know, that 40-ounce steak anymore. Because we know it's too much and we're indulging and we become bigger than we ought to be. We can't indulge in these things anymore. We can't engage ourselves in these pleasures. We're going to have to find ourselves as a good soldier, not entangling ourselves in the affairs of this life. That's just the way it is. So we find, thirdly, the next section that kick us out is people. People. You know how many families I've seen tonight? Through all my years of not only pastoring but being in church, that one of the two in the marriage decided that they were going to stop serving God, and that other one who said they still wanted to serve God, they got out as well. People. You know how many people I know that the preacher, by the way, the preacher's not perfect. And by the way, the preacher is sinful and is a sinner saved by grace as you are. And by the way, the preacher will upset you and the preacher will disappoint you. And the preacher, you'll find, does have failures in his life. And when you find them, don't be surprised. But you know, I know a lot of people tonight has found a flaw in the perfect preacher. And tonight, they're not in church anymore. They're not serving God at all. There's people I know that have been in church and they said that that member right there is this problem, that other, and now they left the church because of them people. Tonight we find that people can get you off, but tonight we're going to have to find that we're not going to have to be affected by people. We can't be engaged in the pleasure. We can't be entwined with prosperity. And tonight, third or fourthly tonight, the expectation of the good soldier. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says that we may, or that he may please him. That's the whole expectation of a good soldier tonight. And I'll be honest with you tonight, why I have been doing what I've done for so long is because I want to please him. I'll be honest with you. Because I'll be honest with you tonight, me preaching right now at this hour is not pleasing some people. Matter of fact, me preaching this hour right now is aggravating and frustrating people. I'll just be honest with you tonight. Would it be much easier tonight if I stopped preaching? It might be easier in a physical sense, but it won't be easier in a spiritual sense. And we find tonight that if you're going to the expectation of a good soldier, it's not that everything's going to work out. The expectation of a soldier is all my family's going to be in church. The expectation of a good soldier is that I win every battle. The expectation of a good soldier is that everything's going to be perfectly fine and everything's going to be okay. That's not the expectation. The expectation of a good soldier is I'm going to please him. Whatever I do, he's going to be approved. Whatever I do, is that he's going to be the one tonight that's going to be agreeable with. And whatever I do, he's going to join with it. That I'm just going to do what I do as a good soldier to please him. That's why I do what I do. Lastly tonight, the excellency of a good soldier. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, is that a good soldier is to strive lawfully. Lawfully tonight. That means a good soldier is just going to have to do right. No matter what tonight, whatever situation you're in, you just got to do right. That's how you strive lawfully. There in verse 5. Except that he striveth lawfully. You got to do right. Tonight, whatever you find yourself in this battle, you got to do right. You got to, secondly, be right. Not only do right, be right. And then finish right. That's how you strive lawfully. Finish right. You know, tonight, one of my great desires is that I finish right. I want to finish right. I started right. Everybody in this room started right. Because if you didn't start right, you didn't start at all. But every one of us who got saved started right. It ought to be in the heart of every good soldier to finish right. I want to finish on the field. I want to finish in the battle. I want to finish tonight in doing the work of God. If I'm going to die, I want to die doing and being the one that God would have me to be. The good soldier of Jesus Christ. Finish. Finish right. Strive for the masteries. The Bible says there in verse 5. That means to win or obtain or to be superior tonight. Strive for the masteries. Strive lawfully. Don't be disqualified. Don't be disgraceful. Don't be out of order tonight. Oh, listen, you have every opportunity tonight to leave out of here and to fight that fight as a good soldier and to strive lawfully. In the morning when you get up, you got another opportunity to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Strive. Strive to win. Strive to obtain. Strive to be superior. Stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, and our eyes are closed. First Corinthians chapter 9, I'll read this to you. Verse 24. If you could, just listen to me just for a moment here. Paul makes a statement in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. He says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it to subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." God, I don't want to be a castaway. Don't want to put all these years in. Don't want to put all this time in. Give my life all these years just to be disqualified. To be dishonoring. God, let me be a good soldier. Well, George, you sing. If you need to come this morning, you come. This evening. Oh, listen, Lord. Thank you for calling me, enlisting me into your army. Thank you for letting me be a soldier. Thank you, Lord.